Hello, this is Monocle Reads. I'm Georgina Godwin, and my guest today is Ginny Reddy, a London-born travel writer and journalist. She's lived across a number of continents. She's been published widely in The Guardian, The Daily and Sunday Telegraph, The Times, Time Magazine, National Geographic, Traveller and many more. Her latest book is Wonderland, which has been shortlisted for the Wainwright Prize, which celebrates the best in UK travel and nature writing. Ginny, welcome to the show. Firstly, I want you to tell us a little bit about your background because I think it becomes very relevant when we look at the subject matter of your book.
So I was born in London, outside London in Wimbledon. I moved to Canada with my parents when I was seven, and my mum and dad are Indian and they themselves were born and raised in South Africa.
So it's very much a story of otherness.
The book is about my search for magic in the landscape. So I was really seeking a more spiritual dimension to my roaming. And because it was a very personal narrative, of course, I brought myself to it. And myself is who I am, a person from a multicultural background. So inevitably, some of that came into it. But I wouldn't say that was necessarily the central to it. The otherness that I talk about mostly in the book has to deal with this idea of an animate nature. A sentient nature.
Now, this is nature writing, the genre, but it's almost like a kind of sub-genre. Would you call it eco-spiritual literature?
I probably would, yes, because as I say, I'm not coming to this as a naturalist or a specialist. I'm coming to this as a woman who was on a journey, as I'm coming to it as somebody with an interest in the spiritual life. And so I'm bringing some of that into it. I know people from indigenous cultures, they speak of experiencing a reciprocal relationship with the landscape, a reciprocal relationship with the forces of nature, a kind of relationship which involves receiving wisdom and insight, receiving gifts and offering reverence and respect to the land. And I find that already fascinating, and I was very much influenced by that.
The book starts with the Worldwide Labyrinth Locator. Tell us about that.
Yes. Okay. So I had been on the tube, I think, and I saw an image of a labyrinth on one of the walls. And I thought, that's interesting. I'd walked a couple of labyrinths in other countries, not intentionally. I'd been there on travel assignments and my guide had led me to these labyrinths. And I found them interesting because I'm interested in land art generally or anything with a hint of mystery. So I came home after seeing this labyrinth design on the tube and did some Googling and came up with this Worldwide Labyrinth Locator. So I kind of tumbled down this rabbit hole and I came to this labyrinth, which was in Cornwall overlooking the sea. And I was drawn to it, partly because it was on a nature reserve. And I decided I would go to walk this labyrinth and I would start my journey in this way, because when you go to a labyrinth, you're meant to ask a question, a burning question. And so that's how it came about.
What was your question?
I wanted to connect with the divine in the landscape. I don't know if I would have phrased it quite in that way when I went walking around the labyrinth, but I think that's what I was seeking to do. And I wanted guidance. I guess I was seeking counsel from the landscape. And it was kind of an open-ended question, I guess. I wasn't that prescriptive.
And it's something that you pursue through the book. So, for instance, you visit a shaman in Herefordshire. And again, this idea of having a two-way conversation with the land.
Yes, it was very interesting because she had grown up with this idea as a child. And I wanted to see if I could learn something from her, but I was only there for a few days. And, you know, you can't just dial up these kinds of requests. So initially I just spent time with her and then she took me for a drive and then a walk to this stone called the Arthur Stone. And there was a kind of ritual whereby you entered the stone and you asked for guidance. It was kind of like a burial chamber. So I did that and I was a little bit skeptical. And then I just decided to let go and allow my imagination to flow. And then I had quite an interesting experience. I don't want to give it away. I think you kind of need to read the book, but it left a real impact on me. These synchronicities would arise when I was least expecting them. Often when I had let go of my expectation of wanting something to happen, then something would happen.
And there's a wonderful quote. You write, "It feels though the land and I are engaged in a kind of pas de deux, neither of us quite speaking the other's native language, but trying to find common ground." It's so beautiful and just so kind of evocative. What did you learn about our land, about Britain, about England, about the geography of it?
That is a really big question. And I had travelled, you know, a reasonable amount within Britain previously. I'd written another book before that called Wild Times. And although this is a small island, I'm always taken by the coastal landscapes, the insane beauty that it can exist on such a small island. Quite recently, I was on the Isle of Lewis and the beaches were extraordinary. I mean, you go across the world for these white sand beaches. So I think what I always take away when I travel in Britain is that the depth of beauty and the variety that is on such a small island.
I was really struck by a piece you did, I think, for The Guardian, talking about nature writing, particularly by women of colour, and how you just don't really see a lot of it. It's all middle-aged white men, as with almost everything.
Yeah, that's definitely changing now. You know, there are voices coming through. Jessica J. Lee has written books to do with nature writing. She runs a journal called The Willow Herb, where she showcases nature writing by people of colour. I think Elizabeth Jane Burnett has written a book called The Grassling. You know, there are people coming through, and that is a positive. But I think, quite simply, the more people you have in the room, the more interesting the stories, the more diverse the stories. People who come from different backgrounds, different life experiences, they bring a richness. And I think that benefits everybody, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a magical book about really the search for magic. Do you think you found it?
Oh, yes, unquestionably, because the way the synchronicities unfolded, I mean, I would experience a kind of ecstasy, you know, a kind of joy when they did, beyond all other experiences that I'd had, and that sense of wonder and awe. And that has really expanded my field of perception. And it's made me feel that there's so much more out there, you know, than our rational minds tell us. And I find that fascinating. And I'm not trying to persuade people who are skeptical. I'm just putting out what I experienced. And if people want to connect with it, and if they do connect with it, that's fantastic. But I'm just writing from a place of truth, writing about something that I found fascinating and interesting and moving.
Well, a beautiful book. Ginny Reddy, thank you so much for speaking to me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Wonderland is published by Bloomsbury. It's by Ginny Reddy. You've been listening to Monocle Reads, thanks to the production team of Nora Hull and Charlie Filmer Court. I'm Georgina Godwin. Thank you for listening.